The question was asked, how are we to understand the Torah's commandments in certain occasions, in certain circumstances, to kill or execute women, children? Let's focus on children. That's maybe a more difficult question, and if we can address that, then I think the other things will fall into place more easily. Let's answer a one-sentence answer, and then go into many introductions and get back to that answer, okay? The one-sentence answer is going to annoy you, legitimately so, even though it's not so far from the truth. And the one-sentence answer is, because God said so. Okay? That's the one-sentence answer. But now let's take a few steps back and start analyzing what's going on here and the difficulties, etc. Let's begin. A guy walks into Machon Meir and says, I was a Buddhist until yesterday. Now I want to learn about Judaism. Walks into the first class. They teach him about Judaism. Walks out and says, now I'm a believer. What do you say? You don't know nothing yet, right? The guy says, really? It made perfect sense to me. And you tell him, but how much do you know? And he says, but what I know makes sense. Okay, fine. If you say so, learn a little bit more, right? We tell him, learn. Okay. He's here 2 days. He's here 3 days. Let's take a better case. We once had a student, you guys won't believe this, who grew up in Gaza. Came from an Arab family. And then decided he wants to consider converting. And his family was ready to kill him. Okay, literally. So imagine for a minute that this student comes in from Gaza, you know, Palestinian. All his friends are out there throwing rocks and trying to kidnap and kill soldiers, let's say, right? For argument's sake. And he's broken forces with the Hamas, and he says, I want to see what these Jews have to say, right? He walks into Machon Meir. He goes into 2 days' worth of classes and says, wow, this is amazing. This is the truth. Goes in and lists in the IDF. After 2 days worth of learning, he says, I want to kill every Arab I could get my hand on. Right? What would you say? No, what would you say? Okay. The guy's crazy. You'd say the guy's off his rocker. Right? Now, what happens after a week? You'd still say he's off his rocker. What happens after a year? What happens after 2 years? Pause. A person grows up irreligious, doesn't know too much about Judaism. He walks into Machon Meir. He's here 2 days. Is he that different than the Palestinian who walked into here and is here 2 days? Not that different, right? I'm saying, yeah, they might have a different background, but as far as their knowledge of Judaism, yeah, it's very fresh. And if he would say, I want to go out of here and kill every Arab I could get my hand on, we'd say, first of all, that's not Judaism. And secondly, what's going on with you? What do you want to kill people for, right? That's not what Judaism is all about. And what happens if he's here a year, but he still doesn't know too much? So then why is it legitimate? So we run a risk when we use the term, because God said so, we run a risk of forgetting the question of who says God said so. You know, the Christians killing the Muslims in the Crusades also said God said so. And the Muslims killing the Christians also said God said so. So now, you're going to say, yeah, but we're different. We're telling the truth. Okay, go ask a Muslim and a Christian. They'll also say, we're different, we're telling the truth. So then, to the naked eye, well, there's no difference. If you're just standing on the outside, let's say I'm an agnostic, I'm looking at everyone, and I say, they're all a bunch of cuckoos. Okay, they're all crazy. In the name of God, they're all willing to kill. They're all crazy.
God's on our side, right?
So, I think that before we discuss the question of the commandments, we have to discuss the question of the clarity that this is what God said. And let's illustrate the point. Imagine a guy wakes up in the morning and he turns to his son and says, "Son, I have really good news for you. God came to me in a dream last night and he told me to take you up on top of Mount Moriah and slaughter you. Come, son, let's go for a 3-day walk." What would you say?
Taking
psychiatric care, right? So the Rambam says that the only reason Avraham Avinu could proceed with what he did was because it was with 100% clarity. It wasn't the first time God was talking to him. If there was any room for Avraham to doubt, maybe I hallucinated, maybe I had a bad dream, maybe it was indigestion last night, right? So then he would have been a murderer to step forward. You can't go and act based on what you perceive as God say so unless you have distinct clarity. Now, a person can come to Machon Meir and say, "I'm studying, so I'm learning, so I'm keeping Shabbos, I'm keeping Kashrut, but I'm not lifting a gun at anyone." You want to lift the gun, you better know what you're talking about, right? Before Avram could lift that knife and go with Yitzchak, Avram has to be 100% certain this is what God wants. And if there's any room for doubt, then he has no right to do it. And that's why Avram declares, "On this mountaintop, Behar Hashem Yirae." Well, for this mountaintop, people will know that there is such a concept as 100% clarity that Hashem appears. Because otherwise I'd have no right to do what I did here. That's Avram's declaration at the end of the Akedah. Off of this mountain is the clear proof for all of humanity that there is clarity in the prophetic vision. So coming back to us, a person has to build up his clarity. You can't just say, "God said so, so I'm doing it." And I'll say, "Who says God said so? Did you clarify? Do you understand? Have you verified? Have you looked into it?" There's a difference between keeping Shabbos because God said so and lifting a gun because God said so. Yeah. I think the difference is in the weight of the action. You're not hurting anyone by keeping Shabbos. Excuse me for being so secular, but I'll begin with the most basic answer, which is not the correct answer, but it's a starting point, and that is Pascal's wager. Pascal wavered his whole life between being religious and irreligious. At one point he became a monk, at one point he denied it all, and then he went back to being a monk. So Pascal said, we are religious in doubt, and we say to ourselves, "Well, let's see, if I'm right and there is a God, so I benefit a lot. And if I live an immoral life, so I might enjoy it a little bit now, but I'm sure risking a fiery future," right? Excuse the pun. So Pascal said, we make that wager and we decide to be religious, because who knows what's yet to come, right? If I don't know, I might as well be religious. It's legitimate if a person starts from there, and it's legitimate if out of Pascal's wager, a person says, "I'll do things that don't hurt anyone." I can understand that. That's a good starting point, but you got to grow from there. You got to reach a point of clarity. You have to grow. And if you haven't grown, and you're willing to go and take a human life, so then I have to question, wait a second, what's the legitimacy in that? Why is that any different than the Palestinian who walked into here to study, and 2 days later, he didn't. I'm saying if he would say 2 days later, "I'm ready to kill out all of them," wouldn't you say the same thing? Wouldn't you say that's crazy? That has nothing to do with religion? So, the fact that I can say, because God said so, well, that's really a big statement. And you have to build up to that statement. There are other aspects to this answer. There are many aspects to the answer, meaning there's a lot to be discussed. But I think the first point that's really, really important is that, it's an easy excuse to say because God said so. But you really got to work out why you're convinced that God said so. I want to give a few stories that You'll figure out how to connect the dots. I'm not sure I want to connect the dots right now, but at least it'll give you some things to think about. God sends the king Yehu ben Hanani to kill out the house of Ahav. So he does. And then God comes back and the prophet Hosea and tells him, "You murderer, what'd you kill out the house of Ahav for? What did he do wrong? God told him to do so." So the answer is that God was punishing the house of Ahav over paganism, and then Yehu himself went and did paganism. So God turns to Yehu and says, "What'd you kill Ahav for? What'd you kill his family for?" So Yehu would answer, "Because you said so." And God would answer, "No, you didn't do it because I said so. Because if you did because I said so, how'd you end up a pagan? You obviously did not do it because I said so." Now, isn't that a scary thought? That means if he starts off going the way God says, but he ends up showing that he didn't really do it because God said so. So if a guy walks into the IDF and he's, what do they call it, itchy trigger finger?
Usually they make those guys the kind of trigger hooks. If they can see a guy like that, they try to keep him far away.
Are you trigger happy? Yeah, I'm saying, so what's he going to say? "God, this one's for you." Boom, 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 boom. Right? Wait a second. What's God have to do with it? You like pulling the trigger. Right? That has nothing to do with it. And you see that even though God told Yehu to do something, when Yehu's own actions prove that that when he killed out the house of Ahav, it was not because God said so, it was because whatever, he got the throne from it. So then God comes back and tells him, "You're going to pay for killing out Ahav's family." So that's one thing to think about. There's another thing to think about. The Medrash Rabbah quotes a story. There was a Tana, I don't remember the name, he used to speak to Elio on a steady basis. Elio used to show up, appear to him, and they'd learn together. And then one time he was in a city up north, and the Roman forces came and surrounded the city, and they said, "There's one person in your midst, this is his name, he has been found guilty and deserves the death penalty, give him over or we will kill all of you." So the Mishnah says in the end of Shvi'is, if I'm not mistaken, or Truma, I think the end of Truma, the Mishnah says, when such a situation happens, if they point out the person, if they say so-and-so, and we rule in Allah, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, does he have to be really guilty of the death penalty? But in this case, he was. He did do something that he deserved the death penalty by their laws. So then they should give him over rather than sacrifice the whole city. So this rabbi knew the halacha, and he went over and took the Jew and gave him over to the Romans. Great. Elio doesn't show up. And he starts davening and fasting and he's praying. And finally Elio shows up in some roundabout way and he doesn't even want to talk to him. And the rabbi says, "What did I do?" So he says, "What do you mean? You gave over a Jew to be killed by the Romans." So the rabbi said, "But that's what the Mishnah says. I did what the Mishnah says. Isn't that the halacha?" So Elio says to him, "Is that a Mishnah for pious people?" Now ask yourself, everyone would have been killed if he wouldn't have given him over. So you'd say, what a noble act. He saved the city.
And you said he was guilty.
He was guilty. He saved the city.
Yeah.
But still, Elio was teaching him. Who said you have to be the one to do it? Who said you have to give him over? Let other people give him over. That's Allah. Let it happen. You have to go and take a Jew and give him into the gallows? Yeah, that's true. It's Allah. Food for thought. I'm saying, you know, people view this as open game season. The Torah says you can do whatever you want. Not exactly.
When you said Eliyahu, you're talking about Gidui
Eliyahu? Yeah. That's what the Medrash Rabbah says.
But someone had to do it, right? I mean, clearly.
But who said it wouldn't have happened if he wouldn't have stepped up?
Well, that's where the circumstances, I don't know. I mean,
so you have to assume that right. that was the circumstance. If we'd give the answers without this introduction, then I feel like the answers don't carry weight, because those same answers could be given by anyone. Meaning, if I come here and tell you, if God said to kill them, then obviously if they are the root of evil and no good would come to them, etc., I could say a lot of things. But you know what? Anyone could say those things. So I'll tell you, but I think it's true. And that's where the root lies. Meaning, at the end of the day, the question is, where's the truth? And my claim is, if you would have only researched more, you would have realized that the other paths aren't the truth. But that's the root of the answer. So when I come back and I say, God said so, you ask me, why would a Jew kill a child? If the answer is because God said so, but you have to understand that God said so. If you haven't taken the time to understand that God said so, if it's not really clear to you, so then how could you go do it? What's the difference between that and someone who walks into here and he doesn't know anything about Judaism and he says, oh, tell me what was the Torah says. Oh, so I'm supposed to go kill, I'll go kill. Wait a second, who told you it's the truth? Go question, go learn, go understand, and then from there we could talk. But you got to learn and understand.
We don't have that today at all, so it's so hard to relate to. We don't have that today. We can't, no.